Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for sparing our lives to see this day and this week. We thank you for your grace that saw us through last week, both church services, our normal day-to-day activities, protection for those who traveled. We thank you for healing for the sick and the afflicted. Thank you for provision for the needs of your children. We are grateful and we are thankful to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another privilege to be in your house. Lord, because the prophet told us that apart from the first class city, the best place to be on earth is in your house. We thank you for giving us this privilege today again. Help us never to be tired of coming to your house, of serving you, of believing you, of expectation of your coming. Lord, we pray, dear God, that also your presence will not be too common to any of us. Lord, may we value everything, Lord, that we do in your house. May none of your blessings elude any of us. We are here again today to look up unto you for your grace and mercy and blessing. Don't pass any of us by. Stand for us. You know us beyond the way we even know ourselves. We pray you will help us. As we are asking for your help here, we are also praying for other guardians of your children, both in this city and other cities, towns, and villages in this country and in other nations of the world. We pray your presence will be with them. Your servant that left here to Bakatari, we pray you will be with him. And one more time, bless your people there. Thank you, Eternal Father. We appreciate the blessings already in the Sunday school. We thank you for the worship service. We thank you for special number. May your name be glorified. We thank you for your son that, Lord, you provided one car, oh God, for their business and also family use. We ask your hand will be upon the vehicle. Lord, that your protection will be upon him both day and night. Lord, keep it away from accidents. Keep it away from thieves. Lord, may he serve them long, oh God. If they have any cause to do anything with the mechanic, give them faithful ones, Father, that are competent also. By the time that they will want to dispose this, maybe for something better still. Your children desire one blessing or the other, may you remember each one. Give access to your hand and this service, that you take the preeminence. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Well, this December was very tiny at my time. So, and Amatan used to make people to sleep. Yes. So, if you feel sleepy, we just stand up and warm yourself up within the circumference of the voice of the loudspeakers and then go back and take your seat. Then you continue to enjoy God's blessings. But if you stand up and you go beyond the voice, it's showing as if you are not interested in the service. I hope nobody is like that. May the Lord be our help. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here. My Lord, come by. Come by here. My Lord, come by. Oh, Lord, oh, come by here. Come by here. My Lord, come.
Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. You can please be seated. Of course, most of us already know the topic that we are approaching. It's one of the most common sermon that Abraham preached. He titled it Perseverance. And in some places he titled it Perseverance. But we just did the word Perseverance. And Perseverance means to be perseverant. Yeah, so it's like the prophet normally use dictionary sometimes to bring out the meaning of a word to express the title of his sermon so that the people can clearly understand. Because when the title is taken, that is a thought that is in mind. And if the people don't have that thought in mind, they will lose the understanding of the context of the sermon. And when that happens, you won't get any benefit out of it. And the purpose of preaching is for us to benefit from it. Yeah, the prophet said that in most cases people like to be laid hands on, which he told us that is the Jewish type of faith. He said, but the Gentiles, which we are, their faith is higher than that of the Jews. They believe in speaking the word. And actually, the Bible also said that faith coming by hearing the word of God. You trustees, that is my front. May the Lord be your help. It's a good prayer. And they understand the prayer. Don't they understand the prayer? I think they do. They understand the prayers. Because they are supposed to even be some assistants to even the deacons when the deacons are maybe not able to take care of all the whatsoever. Yeah, so the word perseverance. Let's listen to the dictionary meaning. He said, continue in a course of action without regard to discouragement, opposition, or previous failure. Perseverance means, once again, to continue in a course of action without regard to discouragement, opposition, or previous failure. And the prophet said that to be persistent, that's another meaning, to be persistent to make a goal. Amen. So the prophet told us that men through all the ages that has had faith in what they are trying to achieve. Of course, anything you want to achieve, first of all, you have to have faith in it. Isn't it? You have to be sure that this thing you are doing will work. That it will, you will get to that destination. If you don't have that courage or that confidence in yourself that this thing you are doing, that you get to the destination, it means that you are presuming. You don't have faith in that thing. And anything that is done without faith, even the Bible calls it sin. And anything that you also approach without faith, you will not yield any result. Like the prophet said in the message by faith Moses, he said, if we lose faith, he said, we lose our victory. He said, if we lose faith, that all our efforts, everything will be in vain. Because the Bible said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he exists, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek God. And the prophet said, men through all the ages that has had faith in what they are trying to achieve. Okay, there are about 10 perseverance. No, we have perseverance and perseverance. Two of them together, there are 10 sermons. But the one actually I want to take from is the one that is preached 1963, November 16, 63-1116. It was preached in the evening. Perseverance. And I'm actually reading from paragraph 68. So from there you can follow when I read it. So the prophet said, that as people that men through all ages that has had faith in what they are trying to achieve, they have to be persistent, especially if you are trying to do something right. Because you may also persist on something that is also wrong. That is not what we are talking about. That is not expected of God's children. Because he doesn't carry God's blessings. But we are talking of something that is right. The prophet said, because you are going to meet, you are going to meet an opposition. When you are trying to achieve something, especially that is good, you will meet an opposition. And the opposition could be very strong. And it is because many are not able to break through those oppositions. That is why they give up. That is why they ended up a failure. And they have a negative testimony at the end of the day. It's because they don't have faith in what they are doing. Faith also means revelation. They don't have revelation in what they are trying to achieve. They don't know the importance of it. And because of that, they are not persistent. They try. Everybody tries, quite all right. But as people try, when they get to where there is obstacle, that is where 90-something% give up. Obstacle is an obstruction. An obstruction is a problem that is saying that you cannot continue from here. It's not only that human beings themselves have obstacles. Even angels, they also have obstacles. For you to know that it's a normal thing. Because only one person is responsible for all the obstacles is the devil. And anything that is being attempted to be achieved that is not in his own program is going to mount an opposition. And that is strong one. Perseverance is what we are talking about. Amen. The prophet said, you people tonight that is going to be prayed for, I am saying this for your glory, for your understanding. If you are not ready to come in the prayer line, don't come. Because you must remember that this is the time when God is going to take you at your word. And you have got to take him at his word. God will take you at your word. And you will take him at his word. And that is the principle that God works. God will lay down his program. He will lay down his word. And then he will ask you, do you believe? You say, I believe. It is upon that confession that God is working on. Every miracle that Jesus performed while he was here on earth, he will ask a question. Do you believe I can do this? Because I am a man. Maybe like your husband. Maybe like your brother. Maybe like your friend. I'm also a man like that. What difference did you notice that make you to come to me? On what basis are you approaching me? Do you have a special revelation of my personality? Because man is man. Man is man. If you feel that what you have need of, you can get it from a man, then there are several men that are here. Both on the platform and everywhere is full of men. When you come out of the street, you will have them in hundreds of thousands. As we have it now, that's also how we have it in Jesus' day. And some even lower him than a good human being until they call him bastard. They were born bastard. There's a cloudy story around his birth. There's a cover up between Joseph and Mary. They didn't tell us some truth of what happened. They just come up with something, cover a blue story, and say that the angel visited her. And there are people that believe that. Yeah. So when Jesus said, do you believe I can do this one? It is a word, a statement, a question that is pregnant. It's pregnant. Many things are inside, not just an ordinary thing. So when you are asked whether you believe and you say yes, know what you are saying. If you don't believe, say that, I don't know, God help my unbelief. Say, I'm trying to believe. God help my unbelief. I still have doubts. God help my unbelief. Which is also an obstacle. Jesus, do you believe I can do this? Why are you coming to me? The blind man came. What do you want me to do for you that we may receive our sight? Do you believe I can do it? Do I have a knife in my hand to cut your eye open? What is it that is making you to come to me, to come and ask for this kind of a thing? Why don't you go to the hospital? Why do you go to surgeons? Why do you go and buy, meet people that are ophthalmologists,
opticians to see what they can do for you. Why are you coming to me? I don't have anything in my hand. Do you believe I can do it? When they say yes, he will say it back. Be unto you according to your faith. So if it was a false confession, nothing will happen. That is why the prophet is saying that you must remember that this is the time when God is going to take you at your word. And you also are going to take him at his word. We know that God is certain. We know that God is sure. We know that the word of God is perfect. And God says what he means. And he means what he says. Every word of God now will return unto him void. It will accomplish the purpose whereby it is said. And prosper in the thing that he has said it unto. But that will only happen to believers. To believers. Everybody used to say, I believe, I believe. One time the prophet was talking to a lady. They call him there. He has to run there and burn tires and things to be there because they say maybe the lady will be dead. She had appendix and it has busted. And she was dying. And the prophet said that when she got there, she discovered that the lady does not have faith. So the prophet was trying to work on her faith. Do you purposely put this thing? Leave it. That's right. So he was trying to work on her faith. But she said that she has all faith. But the prophet was looking beyond the natural eyes. And he discovered that the woman hasn't got faith. While the prophet was talking to her, then the prophet asked her. That was a chandelier. Something that is hung that used to carry all those multiple lights that some people have in the sitting room in the dining room. That is hanging. And it was hanging in that place. And the prophet asked, how far is this thing from where we are standing? She said, about 15 feet. If you have faith, he said, oh yeah, cause these things to move around and then stop it. The woman said, nobody can do that. The prophet said, somebody can that has faith. Somebody can that has faith. Faith is level by level. The prophet said that you can only have faith and God give it to you. So faith is not the same in everybody. It's not even based on how many years you have believed. It's not even based on how only you have believed. He said, somebody can that has faith. The woman refused. The prophet said, do you want to see it done? She said, yes. Okay. Brother Abraham said that he just looked straight at the chandelier. He did not open his mouth. He did not utter any word. He did not move close to it. Where he was standing there. And he looked straight at the chandelier. And while he was looking at it, the chandelier started moving. It started moving. And then he stopped. Then the lady said, is this one not be spiritism? Now she has crossed from the level of unbelief now to see. She has now gotten to a worse condition than she was when the prophet even got there. And this is somebody that said that she has faith. Where is the faith? The prophet said that faith, we admit God's word to be true. Then the prophet started talking to her, talking to her, talking to her, before she now asked God for mercy. Because now there is another obstacle than what she has before. This obstacle now, she has called the works of God an unclean thing, which in the normal case is like blasphemy. And this is somebody that needs God's mercy. Sometimes, if you are looking for God's help, if you are looking for God's favor, you have to guide everything. Because there is going to be obstacles, opposition that will come. And how it will come, you don't know. From which angle, you don't know. It can come from the very source where you are even looking for the help. As we have it in this sample. So, after that, God had mercy upon her. Because she repented, she asked God for mercy, and then God healed her. Faith is a gift of God. And there's a channel that leads to that path of faith. There's a channel that leads to deliverance. There's a channel that leads to God's breakthrough. There's a channel that leads to God's mercy. And you have to walk that path. There's a path you'll be walking, or you are on the wrong road at all. Just like you have an exam and you are not following the syllabus as you study. Like the people in so many churches today, thousands of churches today, screaming and talking about the rapture and they're saying they are preparing for the rapture. Unfortunately, they are reading from the wrong syllabus. So, from the beginning, the exam is a failure. Every exam has a syllabus. You have to follow the syllabus if you ever pass. May the Lord be gracious unto us. God is going to take you at your word, and you also have got to take him at his word. Amen. Of course, in this life, we is full of troubles. Is full of there is no more time on this earth. There hasn't got one problem or the other. As long as you are a mortal, you are born into problem. You are born into evil. You are born into trials. You are born into temptation. You are born into storms of life. And God's own children, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We don't live by fear. We live by faith. Somebody told the prophet, you are just talking like this. If they say they will show you tomorrow, what I Abraham said, I will still believe. He said, because if I don't, if I begin to be afraid, he said, fear will worsen my situation. He said, but faith can bring me out. Fear has no virtue. And that is why the force that Satan approaches anything that he wants to do is fear. He annoys people with fear. And where there is fear, there is no faith. Fear is full of unbelief. It's full of doubt. It's full of fret. He gives you your negative certificate before the event takes place. That is what fear does. But faith, which is the master of the situation, it will show you the possibility. It will look into God's profile and see that to them that believe, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. The prophet said some years ago, he was called to the bedside of a little child that was sick. The child had a polio, and the prophet said that the thing entered into heart. The demon moved from that polio, which normally used to make children to paralyze and things. The thing moved to the heart, and then the boy got a heart disease and was dying. And the father and the mother called the prophet to come and pray for their child. By the time the prophet got there, the doctor said, you cannot go in. Say, because you are a married man. You want to carry this polio to your own child. The prophet said, will you forbid a Catholic priest from doing the last rite if he come here? He said, Catholic priest is different. Because he doesn't have a child. You have a child. The prophet said, if I don't have the faith to go in there, I have no business here. I want to go in. I have the faith to go in there. I'm not a Catholic priest. But what I am going there, I believe that when I go there, it's not only that I will not carry it. God will do something for the church. The man feels up and down. Then he asked the prophet that, will you sign a statement that you are taking this thing on your own volition? Abraham said, I will sign any statement. So, then he said, they dress him up like Ku Klux Klan, the way you used to describe it. And then he went there. And when he got there, there was no vision. He saw the father and the mother. So he prayed for the child. Immediately he prayed for the child finished. The father of the boy looked at the wife, which is the mother of the child. He said, wonderful, God is great. Our child is coming out of this place well. The nurse in charge of the case was there, looking at them. And told the man that, you don't understand this case. This rejoicing you are rejoicing is uncalled for. What is the cause of your joy here? Let me show you, this is our work. Now this is our equipment that we use, that we read. Say the cardiogram, it has gone down. He said, in the history of the medical, there is no known case yet that the cardiac, the something go down this low and never pick up again. So this case you have here is a completed gum case. You are taking the cause of your child any moment from now. The man laughed and put his hand on the shoulder of the nurse and said, young lady, I will not blame you because it's what you are trained for. You are trained to study this and then to be talking about. He said, but I'm also trained in another way. The training I was trained to look at God's promise and to stand by it. So you are announcing your own. I am announcing to you what my own book says. Couple days, the boy was out of that place. Cardiogram or no cardiogram, there is a final authority. He's the maker of heaven and earth. The case can be anything. That is why the Bible is written. The Bible is God's will. The will of a man. When a man is alive, he writes his will about what I want to be done with everything when I'm gone. This one should go like this, this one should go like this, this one should go like this, this one should go like this. Then he will sign. When they register to the court, he become official. Well, today, no, they can do anything and scatter everything. That is not what it is. But God Almighty, he allowed his will to be put down here in this place. That is called the Bible. And the things that God did here, in deliverance, in healing, in Holy Ghost baptism, in provision, in changing death to life, in different situations, the prophet said that if the same situation arises again, and the same God is invited on the scene, on the same basis, that the person is taking God at his word, as the first man did, he said God is obligated. Obligated. It is a duty for him. For him to retain his reputation as God. The impartial God. The faithful God. The unfailing God. The infinite God. The infallible God. He is obligated to do it once again. What he did for the first man that came to him on that basis. Amen. Amen. God work in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. The prophet said that George Washington, which was the first president in America, they wanted a land of freedom. They wanted a place where they can serve God freely. That was the foundation of America. That is why America is where everybody wants to run to. Because it is heaven on earth at the present time. He said he prayed until he struck God and God spoke to him. God spoke back to him. Indians were the people that were occupying this land of America then. And they are idol worshippers. Just as God moved the children of Israel to go and drive out the Canaanites and the rest of them from that land, because they were idol worshippers. They were doing things that God disliked. And God moved the children of Israel. He moved with them. He was part of the battle. He was the captain of the host. He was the one telling them how to conquer every city they come in contact with. He was with them in the battle. That same God was the one that inspired those early fathers of the United States. And they got that land not by their own strength, but by prayer. Until they will lean down inside snow and pray until sweat from their body will melt the snow. The heat of their body will melt the snow. You haven't been in snow before. If you are ever in snow, you know that it is not what we are talking about. This is a matter that people put on clothes. This is fresh air compared to what we call winter. Until you experience it, it will be a theory to you. Because of the 1.5 in South Africa, may I understand what they call winter. If you have never been there, you just be assuming it. It's only those who are there physically that know that this is okay, this is winter. It make me to swear that I won't come to their country again in the winter.
What?
As we came down from the plane like this one, it was 7 degrees.
I said, what is this one? What is this?
I ran. Immediately I saw the people to pick me like this one, green with to the car.
Hey.
That was the city of Araba. But to move to where I was going, which was the next town, Pretoria, it has dropped to 6 degrees. Second day, it dropped to 5 degrees. Third day, it dropped to 4 degrees. The next day, it dropped to 3. It dropped to 2. It dropped to 1. It dropped to 0. Then minus. I wear 3 trousers, I say I'm naked. Inside cold room. I see somebody is injecting something inside my bone. I tell you, it is deadly. A thing like that is what these men were in, and they knelt down and prayed until the sweat from their body, the heat from their body was melting the snows. It's not the prayer of my phone ring, I go and see who is calling. If you want to pray serious prayer, either you off your phone or you keep it in another room and you are in this place. But the one you put beside you is not a serious prayer. It's like prayer you want to bless food. When you are ready to mean business with God, you have to discard, make sure that nobody reaches you on phone. No matter how urgent somebody might want to talk about. Some people today, they call you. Have been calling you all this while. You are not carrying your phone. If care is not taking, the only job you do in your life is be a telephonist, a receptionist. To be receiving calls. Because you can receive up to 100 calls or more in a day. Some of the calls will be up to 30 minutes, 1 hour. Once in a while, when you want to talk to God, you can't talk to God and man at the same time. Off your phone or put it in do not disturb. So that whosoever from anywhere cannot reach you. Because you are in a meeting with God. Can you be in a meeting with the governor and somebody is calling you and you quit the call? Nobody born you. Can they invite you to the presidency and then you put your phone on vibration? Then you go and say, they will never allow you to enter again. You are out for good. But sometimes, say you want to pray, your phone is there beside you, vibration. When you open your eyes, you are not serious. God will know that you are not serious. In fact, all that you are talking, you are just talking to yourself. Because God will never. These are not the kind of prayers that did anything that you find the testimony in the scriptures. May the Lord be our help. I see that majority of us begin to. It is because that's the normal life of human beings. You don't want to miss any call. It's good. But I know one thing, you can't talk to God and man at the same time. No, even in church. Some phone is on vibration. One day it go to toilet to go. You can't serve God and mama. You cannot serve God and mama. Any business you are doing, the people should know that you are also a Christian. They should know that there are some days you are in church. The director has been wanting to talk to you. I'm in church. Am I in church during the official hour? Official hours ended. So I am in church. You get me where you can get me. Where you cannot get me, you cannot get me. I have to leave a job before because they want me to use God's time for. And I say no. I promise them that I will come and do my work even in the night. I volunteer for that one. They say no. They say in our own company here, it is work first, God second. That is the way you will do your arrangement. In a short time, I pack my papers, I write something, I give to them. Small time, I left the place, the company folded. I've had that experience at least two or three times. You can't force me. You cannot make me an idol worshiper only because I'm your employee. I cannot become an idol worshiper because I'm working for you. There is time for work. There is time for God. May the Lord be our help. And because George Washington was perseverant, they knew he had the assurance from the onset. You see, the Bible said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And they diligently sought God, and they know that God is not a disappointment. And Abraham said that God spoke back to him. And they left the place with assurance. Bullets entered suits like this and came out, not touching the body. The angel followed the bullet, made sure it's diverted, just only punctured the suit for evidence that your life was aimed. But you are not dying inside of this one. May the Lord be our help. The prophet told us of Noah. Noah had the voice of God. Among the people that were living on the earth in the time of Noah, it was only him that the Bible said he found favor with God. God said that the end of all flesh have come before me. But only Noah. He was a righteous man. He was pleasing God. He was doing that which was right. He was teaching his children the right thing. And God said, with you I will establish my covenant. And God spoke to him. Told him that, build an ark for the saving of your household. God knew how many will believe. If it was, look at yourself, go and look at the measurement of the ark. You know that God did not intend everybody to believe. If you go and look at the measurement of the ark, you know that it's like a hall. How would the whole world enter inside the earth? Go and look at the first class city. The measurement is there in the Bible. The school teacher just go through it. He will end the teaching in talking about the dimensions and the rest of it. But Abraham said it is half of the United States. The United States is big, fine. But that is just one country out of all the countries of the world. Not only that, that place is meant for bride members from the time of Adam to the end. People that live for almost the 6,000, about 12,000 years. How many? 4,000. Okay, 6,000. About 6,000 years. People that lived for 6,000 years. Out of those ones, only those that are bride members are good. So God knows the number of them. And the prophet told us that each house is not like this, our Nigerian house. This plot, you are measuring for one, say, 100 by 50 feet, not meter. 15 by 45. When is meter? It's a full plot. When you look at it, you wonder which kind of house will stay inside. House, once it's up to that measurement, house will stay inside. If you are not going to build a... But look at the house of Abraham one time. He said at the back of his house, he has about half an acre land there. They use more to cut it. In Zimbabwe, one plot is about six plots here. The land is just, you just see the land, just go. How many people are there? Because they are small. I think about 12 or 14 million. The whole country. So they just have land like a but in Lagos. Onicha. Once the measure is like this one, like this one. That's why 5-6-story building is going to rest there. It's coming gradually to Badena. If you go and meet these people with land, say, how much I just want a plot. Where do you want it? I want it close by, close by. What's your budget? Say about 2 million. You are not serious. Where they will take you, it will be 1 hour into the wilderness. You are talking of a land very close by. We are talking from 10 million and above now. If it's going to be close by. And everywhere is already, all the land everywhere. But that first capacity, Baba said, is spacious. It's roomy. So, to tell you that the people that are going to public, they are not too plenty. They are not too plenty. Even one time, I asked a surveyor to plot for me. How many plots? I forgot it. The calculation gave me. You can count the plots that are there. How many thousands of plots that are there? In this, our current measurement. If you measure it 100 by 100. The plots are numbered. The measurement is in the Bible. It's not going to expand. It's not only for people of this generation. It's for people from Adam. So the last person that will leave, those who are the bride member there. That is why you know that this thing we are talking about somebody trying to make the rapture. It's not a part-time business. For those who will go there, it's a full-time affair. That you put everything inside, lock, stock, and barrel. Otherwise, you are out of the picture. The numbers are few. In the time of Jesus Christ, he used a saying for them. He said, straight is the gate. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life. He said, few are those who will find it. You can't do it on part-time basis. It will not work. Amen. Not build the ark. You preach for 120 years. The same sermon of repentance. Trying to tell people to think on their ways. And turn their feet to God's testimonies. All his sermons, he fell on deaf ears. Only his family entered the ark. Every other person, they say the man, something is wrong with him. Because his sermon, it's not scientific. Maybe because he did not go to seminary school. He didn't have theological experience. That's why his case is like that. How can you be telling us here that rain will fall and it will bring a flood and will destroy the whole world? Well, since you yourself have been born, you never experienced what is called rain.
Where do you get the word from?
The prophet said that even scientists shoot their instrument up to find out that are their moisture up? They say, no moisture.
History people, they check all the records.
They say, that's never been before. You fail history test, you fail scientific test.
Then they ask that he was building, which he said was going to use the floor on top of the floor. When engineers examine,
if they engineering test.
Because the thing that God told him to use to build it was spongy gopher wood that is full of holes. But they don't know that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So they laugh at him. They throw the rotten tomatoes at him. You, something is wrong. Your family ought to take you for psychiatric test. Something is wrong with you.
But when they finish it,
following God's instruction, finally the day came. God told him, now, you go and take the animals from every species, male and female, and put them here. That way we fill the down the basement. Then the first floor, the beds. Male and female from every species, put them there. Then you and your family that believe, you enter the second story. Only one window was on top. The door, one single door. Because Jesus is the door. There are no two doors. So only one door was in that place. So that one door, when he put everything, God hold the key in his hand. When God told them to enter inside, then God was the conductor that closed the door. The prophet said that the reason why the ark of Noah floated was because that ark was the word of God. Because it is built on the instruction of God's word. So the ark is God's word.
And Noah entered. Then a time of trial came. The first day, maybe the sun, the heat will go more. Then the family begin to ask him questions. Papa, you say when we enter this way that the rain will start. Heat is increasing. And there are no plenty windows here. No AC, no fan, nothing. Let the end of the duty not be worse than the beginning of. Second day, the heat was there. No rain. Third day, and he begin to ask more questions. He said, Papa, are you sure of the you say God spoke to you? You see, we have not been doubting you before. But there are questions before us now that we don't have answers for. Fourth day, he was assuring them, don't worry. I know whom I believe. God is not a liar. If you come, just relax. Heat will never kill us here. Those are the things that Satan uses sometimes to scare people. The thing is already. A believer is not nervous. There is nothing that can happen on this earth except by God's permission. If God has not approved anything, he cannot move. Yes. No matter how much the thing is close to, it may be almost. But nearly cannot kill a bird.
Fifth day, sixth day, nothing.
Maybe Ham said, we will have been worried that if this door, if I can open this door, let us take some priests. Because we are told that it was through him that the serpents crossed the ark. Finally, on the seventh day, the thing started little by little. No cloud, no serious something. You know, sometimes some rain wants to fall. It's just be as if a sun is shining and yet it's something. Then gradually it will be blending. The rain will be, the sun will be fading out. Then gradually it will be small cloud. Then gradually, sometimes that kind of rain itself, it can full ground later. when the thing begin to get to a level. In fact, the prophet told us also in some sermons when he had that some of these religious people of the day that they also build their own ark. That in case of efficacy, this is that some of the people that we think are mad sometimes. They may do something that may so let us keep it this way in case of any eventuality. But that ark, they build it according to science, they build it according to engineers. It is not according to God's word. The one that man built was God's instruction, is the only one that will stand. Let me tell you something. The only way to life, only way to deliverance is according to God's word. Through the prophet of this hour, William Mario Branham. Every other one will collapse. It will work. Small. The rain begin to wet people's legs and begin to go up small. Pass the ankle, small. Ah, is it? This father now. Small. The thing is the name. What is happening? Well, we still have the mountains there. If it's getting out of our, we run to the highest mountain. When God speaks, He knows the end from the beginning. But Abraham said, when Jesus said, let us cross on the other side, He said, He has seen the end of the whole thing. He has scanned the whole journey from this side of the river to the other side, and all that will happen in the sea, He has gone through it, He has looked at everything, and He knew how they will arrive. Even knew the time, the second they will arrive. He knew everything. He is aware of the storms. Even though those storms will come, and the disciples, all that they are believing for, everything will disappear. Because faith is not presently anchoring their heart. Finally, the highest of the mountains was soaked, was submerged, were baptized. It was only because the rain, the Bible said, it fell for 40 days and nights. And the water prevailed on the ground for 150 days. Nothing living, apart from inside the ark, ever lived. Every living thing died. When God says anything, no matter how foolish it is, no matter how unreasonable it is, you better hang your soul on it. Because a time will come when there is no room for amendment. No room for correction. You can no more run back. You cannot go and correct anything. You just know that this is the end. Amen. Of course, we will not talk of all the characters. Just pick a few. Once it's time, we'll end the service. Abraham spoke about Moses. He says, it's like a man from anywhere. Say he wants to go and overtake Russia. A man, just one man. And then with his team in his hand. Let him even carry not machine gun. Whatever equipment he carry, just one man says going there. They'll be watching him through their radar. And they will just send to him something that will just bomb him. And he will turn to Bada and whatever he carry. That will be the end of it. To begin with, is it Moses that should go back to Egypt? Moses that was declared wanted? Moses that was a murderer? Is it the same person that ran away by himself? Is it the same Moses that should say he's going back to Egypt? That's why I say he cannot go. God says, you are the one going. And I will go with you. We'll go together. How God will do it himself does not know. He was just following God's instruction one after the other. With a dry stick in his hand. He said, throw down your stick. He threw it down, it became a serpent. He ran away. God said, pick it. He became a runner back. The prophet at that time, he became God's word. Because he has rejected the stick by himself, by running away from it. Put your hand in your bosom, which is in his heart. It was leprous. He said, put it back again. bring it up. It was cleansed. The prophet said that was God cleansing his heart that was full of sin before, cleansing it now to be an instrument in God's hand. And by the time he now took off from that time on, any word against Moses is against God. You murmur against God. When Moses will talk and people are talking anything, God will tell Moses, I have had their money. I have had their complaint. It is not you. They are talking against. They are talking against me. From the time that God cleansed him for the service, he become not a man of himself. He's a man in God's hand. One word against him, you go for it. The Bible says every disobedience receives a just recompense. When Moses got to Egypt, nobody asked for the history record about what is his record last. What did he check his record? Nobody asked for that. God brought all those from their memory. It didn't start as small, until the whole country was destroyed. From that time, it will take time before you hear of Egypt. Just once in a while you hear of Egypt. Egypt became a shadow of itself. But that time it was the USA of the whole world. Because at one time, it was the food basket of the world. It was the center of tourists of the entire world. That is where everybody goes if they want to survive. That is where people go to go and look at wonders. The thing they use the chain of Israel to build, it made a tourist attraction to the place. Nevertheless, when God turned his back to them, it becomes something else. May God not turn his back on us. We are seeing something when God is saying that you are my son, you are my daughter. If you get to a point that God decides to back you for whatsoever it is, you know that that's your end. That will be your end. We know the story. At the end of the day, the children of Israel came out of that place with a mighty hand, signs and wonders. Everything take place and they came. But unfortunately, these same people, unbelief enter inside and they begin to die gradually in the wilderness. Only the two of them that really, really believe, really, really had revelation, really, really are God's own elect, they are the ones that made it to the promised land. All other ones perish in the wilderness. Amen. David is a character in the scripture that the other day we preached about him using another angle. This is one other angle. All these characters, that's what the prophet used to preach, all the sermons he preached. From different angles. From different angles. We learn from every one of them. We got it. If not, God would not have put them in this Bible. Every story that is in this Bible is for a reason. Amen. David, he was born to the family of Jesse, one of the children, the last born, and they didn't count him to be somebody who would be useful for anything apart from just of an adding sheep. So he was giving animals to go and be taken to the wilderness and be feeding them. That's all. So by the time one day when Saul disobeyed God's instruction and God was tired of him, and God said that I regret that I made him king, because Saul now he got to a time that he wants to do what he like. One day he felt that the job of the prophet is something that himself can do as a king. So offering was there, and it's the prophet that should bless the offering. Then the people begin to tell him, Saul, why are you even the king? Number one, even the Samuel you say you are waiting for, himself is late. He didn't come. The time he told you he come, he didn't come. He didn't come now. Himself is disobedient. Have you not received the way you are used to bless it? You are blessed. You are the king now. Bless it. And God purposely delayed his prophet to test his obedience. God is never late. If you say you want to help yourself, you will take yourself out of God's economy. Just follow God's instruction. See, it's true. Bless you. I don't know how David bless. As they were saying amen like this, Samuel is a quiz. Say, God bless you, sir. We all finish blessing, you say you are done foolishly. Sir, you came late now. You yourself didn't keep your word. You see, so time you will come, you didn't come. And now, why you are delaying? The people going, even the my own people, they are already leaving. Not only that, the enemy is also gathering again. You want to make it finish also for you. If it is only one person that remains, after the prophet blessed the offering, that one person will scatter all of them. Man's impatience will only ruin the person's life. The people are ready. You have done foolishly. If you have waited, your kingdom will have been established. But the way you do like this one, that was the first one. The second one, God came again. I remember Amalek, what they did. So go and wipe them off. Don't spare anyone. Animal, human being, leg everywhere. Then Saul went with a covetous eyes. And the people that went with it, when they see a fat animal, they put that from a corner. They see another fat one? No. You see another fat one? They put it in. When he saw the king, he said, this one, maybe they want to use him. I don't know what they carry. That night, God met the prophet. I said, I regret that I made so king. See what he has done. He showed him the vision of everything. So in the morning, Samuel was called. As he got to God bless you, prophet. God bless you. God bless you. Shalom. God bless you. Say, so we have finished the people. We finished the people. Just as God said, we live with him. He said, what did you do? What about the bleating and yearning and the back of the house? He said, yeah. Oh, is the people? Is the people? Now, is the people now? Is it the people God gave instruction? Say the people brought that one to sacrifice unto the Lord your God. As wonderful as it looked like, as great, as appealing as it looks, God was not interested. The prophet said, as the Lord delights in offerings of rams and goats as to obey God's word. He said to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now that you have done this one, this is the end of your kingdom. That was when God started with David. And David, perhaps he has been using it. Barbara was narrating in this sermon that slingshot in his hand, can catapult. That he said, maybe just like something used to carve this aboriginal lizard. You know, small boys. Pian. They use that one to do targets to see that they can kill. Sometimes to bet. People who are not good will do up to 50 times, they will catch it. Some that are good, they will do 1 or 2, 3 times, they will catch. The different. If you don't know how to do it, if you are not careful, the thing will hit your eyes. So don't go and try it. God said that is the person I chose. So one day the father said, go and check your brothers at the battle and give them food. So when he got to the place, it was the time that Goliath came around.
to make his boast.
Give me a man. We give me. Who is having? If I kill him, you will suffer.
He was a heavy man, tall, large, huge, and everything.
When he speaks like this, the hand vibrates, everybody runs away.
Then David is small boy, and he said, who is this man?
He's not.
What are you even doing? After they collected the food he brought, what are you even doing here, sir? After you have collected the food you brought, you ask me what he's doing here. Don't you know by this food that he was sent to this place?
He said, what is the man talking?
Somebody called him aside. Young boy, may I tell you something?
That man has been doing that thing for 40 days. Nobody feed him. Even the king, he disappeared now. Where is hiding? Nobody, anybody that tempted him, he will keep, because the proposition now is not that everybody will go and fight. No. He's, what he proposes is one person to one person. So, do yourself look at it. Do yourself look at it. The tallest person in the place was Saul. The Bible says his head and shoulder above the people. Despite that one, Saul was like a whatever we compared to Goliath. David said, I will go and fight it.
He started to say, he said, but I will fight this man. Is he not a Philistine? I will fight him.
He was talking to me. His brothers could not. He said, is there not a God?
Let me go and fight him.
When it's not, did not allow them to rest. They took him to the general.
Chancellor,
this boy came around. He has not allowed us to rest since. Say, what is he saying? He said, we're going to fight Goliath. So look at him and say, bless you, my little boy. I really admire your courage.
Your courage is fine, quite all right.
Say, but this one we are talking about, make I give you some instruction. One, that man, this is his profile. He's a man of war from his youth. Then, look at the instrument he has. The coat of mail and everything that he wears and things like that. Say, nobody here. And you never know anything about battle whatsoever. Say, General sir, let me tell you something. I have some testimonies to give.
When I was taking care of my father's sheep, there was a bear that come in and grab one of the sheep. And with this, my sling stone, I knock him. When he raised up his head, I caught him by the bear and I slew him.
So, what did I hear you say now?
He said, a bear.
A reverse small.
Say, then there's another testimony. There's another time after that one. A lion came around.
You said, and so what did you do?
He grabbed one of the sheep. He was what they are run after him. We listen and knock him down. When he raised up, he said, grab him again by the bear and I slew him. That's what happened to the bear and the lion. And this of circumstances will be like one of those animals.
So, like just said this year, if Jay does not have this type of testimony, say, where? You know what will happen? Say, bring my armor. They brought it. They dressed it with it. The prophet said that when the dressing finished, it became bold-legged. To begin with, Saul is taller than David. And the thing is heavy for him. When the dressing finished, it was armor of unbelief. Armor of fear. Armor of uncertainty. Armor of impossibility. The thing weakened his faith. He said, King, I've not proved this one before.
This bear and lion, I told you so. I did not have any armor. Take this thing off.
Let me go the way I went after those animals.
I don't think Goliath himself can face a bear. Not to talk of lion.
So,
I do my best, so God see me that we did not, not that your father will say he sent you to carry food to people and we go and waste your life. God know that I try my best.
They remove the thief from him and they be left.
Say, well, God be with you. Now your testimony, now you say, all people are here that are witnesses. So Saul never believed that David will turn back.
Then when he was going, Goliath looked in front and saw a small boy come.
Did they send him a message? Abi, what is he coming for? Then he watched him that he was picking stones. What is he stoning in this area? At their best, this boy wants to be throwing stone to. He picked stones. Put it and was coming. But when he got a bit close, he was able to hear what he was saying.
Say, you did some circumcised Philistines that is trying to scare the people of God.
I will remove your hair from you today.
Goliath, look at it.
Young boy, I'm not going to fight with you at all. I will just pick you with this my spear. Hang you up for the best to eat your flesh.
David said, you are coming to me as a Philistine with your armor and spear.
But you don't know how me I am coming. I am coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose armies you are trying to defy. Say today, the best of the air will feed on you, I will cut off your head.
See what the boy says. Then he opened his eyes to look at him very well. He needed to have a good look.
Since he has been fighting, he has never met such an embarrassment. Since he has been fighting, he has never met this ridiculous situation.
As he looked at him like this one, David began to do it.
In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved.
As he released that stone, he never used two. Only one out of five that he picked.
Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who walk in mysterious ways, is wonders to perform. Carry the stone and carry it to the place the man just opened and enter inside. And then as you puncture the place and enter inside, the man begin to...
The Philistines were looking.
Say, no doubt. The thing want to start.
Not knowing that the man is already gone.
They said today will be much.
They didn't know what has happened.
The dust covered the whole place. And then David went there. He didn't have any spear.
So he removed the something and caught the head.
The dust he covered it.
When he cut it finished and carried the head, that is when the dust was settling down.
By the time the people had to look at actually what was happening in that fight, they saw the head of Goliath and said, what is this?
All Philistines.
He said, Israelites!
Oh yeah! Pursue the people.
I'm sure some of them will mind somebody. If you make mistake, fall down, they will mind you.
These are here. Be touching their as they jump.
The fastest run they ever ran in their life.
That is those that.
Then they pursue after them.
Because if Goliath can fall down like this, his head removed like this one,
then it means that anybody, maybe they will remember that.
Abi Samson has come back.
Or what is this one?
A person will cut Goliath's head like this,
like you slaughter chicken.
Speed.
What is it? The prophet said that when God called David, then God anointed him. When God anointed him, that anointing of the Almighty God is a difference. All that Samson did, it was by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God moved upon him. When God's Spirit moved upon somebody, it's something else altogether. Brother, sometimes he will tell you that while the anointing is still on me, come and let me lay hands on you. Because anointings are in different categories. Say, while the anointing is still here, come and let me lay hands on you. Because he knows that the thing has reached a level that is beyond human control. It has reached a level that even skeptics cannot even doubt it. The reality is too plain that it does not leave any room for doubt. In the history of the entire world, until we meet Jesus Christ face to face, in the land of the Philistines, they will never forget who David was. The family of Goliath said, when they had dead before you call the remaining, they would all run. Why? Abraham said that David recognized himself as a call of God. If God called him, if God anointed him, and he did not recognize it, it would be of no use. One thing is for God's calling, another thing is for you to recognize. We should never come and sit down around this message as if we are in a denomination. This is incomparable to any denomination of any kind. It's not comparable to Adeboye. It's not comparable to Deeper Life. It's not comparable to Oyedepo or any of the ones with Suleiman or whatever. It's not comparable in any form. It's not comparable at all. Most of these people, they use things to help themselves. I traveled home on to Ibogo on Friday. And I went with my junior brother and another friend. We went for the burial of a cousin that passed on. So in the vehicle, my junior brother and then this our friend, which is, we also, our house at home is just about 3 houses apart. So they were talking and then they talk about this one on the way to Ife. That's a big in India now. One evangelist was Joe, something like that. There is one big camp, very massive, that the man used to, when he, I used to see on the kinet, so he put some of the sons in the kinet, he would be shaking like this, he has some big eyeballs. So they were talking how the man used to do certain things. God doesn't need help of man. The reason why it is written in the scripture in Matthew 7 is that some will come to me in that day and say, have we not done this? Have we not in your name? Say, go away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They want to work for God when God does not need their service. Because religion has become a project. It has become a means of livelihood. It has become a source of wealth. There are people at all costs. They want to do anything. There's so many things, but I just, the original is there. Amen. In this our generation, the man by the name of William Branham, when God used him, when God, even all these, most of these people are forced to now talk about him now. Though they are only talking about the miracle aspect of it. They are not talking about the word part of it. Because they don't know the reason why. In fact, somebody said that God sent him to preach and then Brother Branham to do the miracles. God sent you to preach. If you are to preach, preach now and perform the miracle. Because the Bible said, as they preached, the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word. That is being preached. You that preach, what to preach must be confirmed. But
That's why he preached 1962, the present state of my ministry. When people left him. Because he is now talking about the source cause. The very message that he came for. That was when he started really preaching it. Going to the depth of it. Then friends. He said all friends are forsaking me. The mass are forsaking me. Having Lord this present world. And in that sermon, he was mentioning some of the demands. He mentioned them. He talked and said, "You just acted." He said, "His people said they needed it. His people in Methodist Church needed it." And he left. And that is the person that wrote A Prophet Visits South Africa. How do you write such a book and you leave a man like that? Blindness in part has happened to some people. He mentioned the name of some of them like that. Heavy men. But they did not have the vision. That is what happened to Paul. In the beginning of his ministry, people were following him. They were following him. But the prophet said that he got to a time that people said that this man is washed up. He said he has only one winter coat. But then that when you are coming, bring down my winter suit. Why? Because he doesn't have a spare. He has only one. He said, all men are forsaking me. Only Luke is with me. They said, this man before that used to do this one, is now have to carry doctor with him. They have to doctor, I do this one. His ministry is ended. For somebody who is not called by God, that is how they will end. And for this message, many are ending like that. Many are ending like that. But the bride, the chosen, the elected, the foreknown, the foreordained, the predestined, nothing moves them. They are never offended at this world. Nothing will shift them from it. No matter the obstacle, because there are going to be obstacles, there are going to be problems, there are going to be storms of life, there are going to be things that will confront them, but they will never bow. Let's go to the text. This woman we read for a Syrophoenician by nation. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. The daughter has a problem. The prophet called it epilepsy. And she's been, they have done everything, no way. And she heard that Jesus is doing miracles like that. So she, being that she's not a Jew, she's not learned in their religion, she does not know how to address him. So that is why in the court, if you have a case in court, they expect you to take a lawyer. Because it's the lawyer that knows the language of the court. If you say you want to talk for yourself, from the beginning you commit some offense that will earn you some years of imprisonment. So the only thing is that you get a lawyer. And the lawyer God will tell you not to say one word except to ask you to talk. Because sometimes they want to put some words in your mouth that normally you will say it, and that will hang you. But the lawyers know how to escape those dungeons. So this woman was coming just by herself because she has a problem. She has a need. And she has heard that this is the only person that will do something like that. Things that drug cannot handle. This is the only person that can do it. Then she came. The address she addressed was wrong. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Thou son of David. She did not say it once and stop. Because the disciples, when they come to Jesus Christ, they say, send her away because she is crying after us. She is disturbing us. You don't say allow us to rest. When you have a problem, you won't allow God to rest. Yes. When it's actually a problem that you know you cannot solve, you will keep quiet. You will not allow God, because when you read in this Bible, which contain God's provide, you will see that problems that are greater than yours 100 times were solved here. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have that same problem. Mothers like you have been in problem more than your own. They have approached the same God and they find solution. Is it partial? The first problem the woman has, it was the disciple. Of course, first of all, when he cried like that, just do like this. What do you mean answer? Snub her. If you go and meet a man of God and does like that, what do you think he'll be saying? He's not caught. He's not caught. It's an impersonator. Jesus snubbed her. And then the man continued to cry. You stop me, you know, go rest. You know, nothing will happen in this your revival except to attend to my peace. When you will not rest, I won't allow your mind to rest at all. You won't be able to do anything. I will call disturbance and doubt in my mind. My mother is solved. She was crying. Thou son of David, I said, have mercy upon me. My mother has given up to the best with the devil. No solution anywhere. The disciples said, don't you see this woman disturbing me? Send her away. Open your mouth and tell her to get out of here. And she heard what the disciples said. Obstacle two. When Jesus will open his mouth, he said, are you bothering about this? I'm not even saying to her this. Will I take the children's bread and then give it to dogs? The woman came and fell down and said, Lord, help me. Despite all this insult that she has received, she said, Lord, it will be with tears.
That's right.
She has been in problem for a long time. May God drive away problem from us.
Amen.
If you have problem for 2 weeks, you know that problem, no, it's not meat. If you are heavy all the time, you don't know the people that are sick, what they pass through. Sometimes they wish that they are on the other side than to stay here. The reason why sometimes we don't appreciate the Lord is because we have not tasted both sides. Oh, sure. You have not tasted both sides. Sometimes maybe you look at the people that, maybe as I said, now believe they worry them. God be merciful to you. The woman fed them. And your race, you and your race, you are dogs. To our face, you and your race, you are dogs. The healing revival is for the children. And I cannot take the food that belongs to children and be giving it to dogs. The woman said, what you are saying, sir, is true. That's why the prophet said that correct faith, true faith, we acknowledge that the word is true. True faith. We not talk nonsense to God. You know that in nothing God is right. Look, I said, you and your race, you are dogs. I can't take children where I've been giving it to dogs like you. We are dogs. Say, yes, sir, I know that me and my people, we are all dogs. We are all dogs. But, sir, I want you to consider one thing. That the dogs, they used to eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm not here to share the food of the children. And just hear that after the children are eating and they belly full, those crumbs that remain on the table, they will scrape it down now. That's what I'm here. I'm under the table. I'm not coming to the dining table to struggle with your children. No. The crumbs is enough for my case. Just give me the crumbs. Let the crumbs fall down from the table. When I take those crumbs, it's enough to solve my problem. The woman looked, Jesus looked at her. Say, oh woman, great is your faith. A faith that can jump on all these barricades. The snubbing, the insult, the sending away, the calling dogs, both you and your race. Not just you and your family. You and your race. You are all dogs. The faith that will pass through all that, and see it come out like this one, Jesus himself, he said, great is your faith. At this saying, the prophet said, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Because you talk like this, because of this your approach, because of this your attitude, because of this revelation that you have, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Jesus did not even see the daughter. Jesus did not talk to the daughter. He didn't go and lay hands on the daughter. Only the mother standing for the daughter. And God helped the mother to be able to endure all that she came. That's why the prophet said in the beginning of the sermon that there is going to be opposition. And this woman met opposition. You want to get anything from God, there will be opposition. There will be problem. There will be barricades. And the woman went through everything. In the COD, Brother Ram linked this case of this woman with Atirat. That's why he said that Atirat said the right word. The right word will be said by the right attitude, under the right anointing, because of the right revelation. When your heart is porous, when your heart is full of all kinds of things, negative thoughts, malice, all kinds of things like that, that has full, you cannot have, you can't create the atmosphere that will make you to have faith. Murmurings, grumblings, and all those things like that. He can never make your heart to be a place where genuine faith can come out of. Brother Abraham and some brethren, they came from the bush, and where he went to hunt for the squirrel. And then Brother Abraham said that that is the family that he always liked to help because of their situation. Atirat, he has parents, aged parents, she's taking care of. But she herself is a widow. And she has two boys that are fully boys. All her effort to bring them in the way of right did not yield any positive results yet. And they just go do what they like. Even that day, when the prophet came there and was giving testimony of what happened in the bush, of how the square was created, and things like that. These are mommy's pastor. See what he's talking about. His career appear and kill it. On a normal day, that's a pardonable sin. That's a pardonable sin. For them to be making jest of the acts of the Holy Spirit. That's the third pole in operation. And they are making jest of the third pole. Normally, it's a pardonable sin. Election is greater than everything completely. Election is greater than everything. It is the sovereignty of the Almighty God. Some people have some situation. Somebody was chatting with me this week. He said, this is the problem I have. This is the problem I have. First of all, start to serve God. This thing you are saying, me myself, I don't have answer. Anytime in the Bible or in the Bible, I don't have answer. Your husband is not with you. You needed your husband. And he says he's gay. I said, is it when you what he said, but when they married us, they were relating for what after some time, then he water.
This is, I don't, you yourself, first of all, start from this place. God is sovereign. He can do what no man can do. And you cannot on your own say, God, kill this person so that I'll be able to take this step. It's impossible. It's an abomination. God does not even hear those prayers. But start from here first. Because the things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. God can do. You start with a plain act and start serving God first. Do like this. The only problem is that the person is allowing those problems and no question that there is no answer is what is weighing her. So there is, you're asking God the grace to follow the instructions that he's been given. After that, listen to the testimony of the prophet. Having done everything she could about the children, no result. No result. There are some situations that when you know that there is nothing you can do as a human being, there is something you can do. Depending on your heart. Depending on your reason. Because for every request, there must be a godly, acceptable to God reason. You can hold a personal conference with God, and the situation will change overnight. How it will happen is not your business. You just tell God that, God, because of this, and this is what I want. That's all. Because of this, which is scriptural, acceptable to God, righteous in the sight of God. When your request is pleasing unto God, when it's according to his will, leave the rest of God, then don't make a Jesus prayer. I mean, a prayer that actually the angels will know that this is prayer. Prayer that will make the angels to gather around with God and say, look at your daughter, look at your son. They are not screaming about this one, this and that. That is what they were doing when they wanted to throw the tribal children into the forest. They gathered around God and they were telling God, look at what is happening in Babylon. Angels are looking because they want over God's work to perform it. They'll be watching. Let them see you on your knees in the night, in the morning, in the afternoon. If possible, share some dough, clear some ways so that you can settle down with God. And see whether another miracle will not take place. Until I was listening to the testimonies, the children were making jest. This is my brother and story. He's always having story to tell. These children will not go to church. When Atira listened to the story, just as we used to say amen here, and it got to the point of what actually happened, the creation and everything like that one. From where she was sitting down, not with the brothers, but she was sitting at the door there because of that testimony. He said, Brabram, that is nothing but the truth. She was not there. It didn't happen in her presence. So if it was somebody that had a little doubt about Brabram before, that blessing will never pass away. He said, that is nothing but the truth. As he said that one, Brabram said, the atmosphere changed. The same power of God that came down, that created the spirit, came down again in this place. It was beyond what man can do. Brabram said, the whole place changed. And the anointing was there. And then God spoke to Brabram. Tell her to ask whatsoever she wants, and then you give it to her. God didn't say, I will give it to her. He said, you will give it to her. Then the prophet called her. Heart. God is pleased with your response. God is pleased with your faith. And he has told me to ask you now to ask anything you want that should give to you. Supposing you are given such an opportunity.
What will you ask? $50 million. Because if I have that, we'll multiply by naira. If I go and share 5 million naira for everybody or every family here, we extend our church, make it big. Sponsor the convention for the next 10 years or 20 years, if that has not come. In fact, people will see the glory of God. The glory of God is not in material things. The woman asked the prophet, Brother Abraham, what do I ask? Since the thing is coming to you, I beg, give me suggestion. What do I ask? Brother Abraham, also as a man, he started from this athletics. Say you are poor, you make $200 per year with your shovel and hoe. So, if you ask for $1 million, $1 million at that time, $1 million at that time, you know how many years salary it is for the prophet. Abraham was on salary of $5,200 per annum. Divide that one by $1 million. You see how many years of Abraham's salary that will be. That didn't click to her. She repeated, what do I ask? In other words, this one you said, it didn't click. He said, your sister is here. Edith Wright. We have been praying for her. Abraham said that he himself has fasted and pray for that girl. Say, he is always watching to see that the vision will come on her, but the vision never came. This is Abraham that sometimes the vision will be so disturbing, even while he is preaching. He said he has to be moving his eye like this. He said the reason I'm moving my eyes is that if I station my eyes in one spot, the vision will break. So he's trying to keep from the vision breaking so that I can finish the sermon he's preaching. Vision to him is like you breathe. But yet, this one, no vision come. Abraham says, several people have come with ambulance and everything, they go back in. But this one is here, nothing happened to her. This is an opportunity. If you ask for healing now, if she's not standing on her feet, you come a false prophet. The same way he spoke about the $1 million. He said, they are not falling on your laps now. That's in 1 second. If they are not, if it's not on your laps, we are not going to call any bank. The creator that created is correct. We create that money to follow your life now. If it does not happen, if that's what you ask for, you call me a prophet. It didn't click. Brother Brian, what do I ask? Then the prophet gave her the key. Says, what is your greatest and desire? If it is money, ask. If it is healing, ask. Whatsoever, ask. Your greatest desire. Supposing that situation will be today. Supposing it came down in this building. What will you ask? This is my motto. The way is good. Oh, I never have motto in my life. My brother will just ride their motto and go to their house. You go, you do something. I myself will get a good jeep. Even now, Brother Kenny has bought another one. I never get any. See, even land I never buy. Not to talk of house to build. Even if that one I will go that. I want a good place to start. What will be your place? God's gifts always find their places. Then the woman said, Brother Abraham, the greatest desire, if you're asking for that, which that is a good thing, you hit the line now. If that is the thing, the greatest desire of my Brother Abraham is the salvation of these my two boys. These are people that are laughing about this testimony of the pillar of fire. These are people that does not have regard for the services. These are people that does not respect the prophet because they don't see what he's talking about. Yet, their name is on the landmark of life. Then the prophet said, I give you your two boys. in the name of Jesus Christ.
That same second, that super anointing stopped there. And from a hardened heart, from scoffing heart, from mockery heart, their heart were pricked and torn into pieces, and they broke down to tears, and they were weeping aloud, and ran to their mother and fell down there, and began to weep and to weep. Right there on that spot, having never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, they were justified, they were sanctified, they were filled with the Holy Ghost on the spot there where they were there weeping. The pillar of fire do the work in seconds. And their soul was activated. It was after this experience they went to be baptized. The next communion, they were on the king. Why? The woman said the right word. Saying that right word does not come by accident. It comes by a protracted, long-time examination of God. Attitude to God's word. Attitude to everything that is of God. That God has been working and piling it, waiting for it to arrive one day. God is the one that created this atmosphere for her to reap the check of all that she has done. Our daily contribution to God's services, not in the way of denomination. I'm saying that your devotion unto God is in record. And God is taking note of it. Your prayers, your study, your commitment, your everything, is God is piling it and is checking it. One day, the file will be opened. The things that you cannot do, God can do it in a second. The prophet said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. It could happen this afternoon.
Let us bow our hands. Perseverance.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he said, the order of them that diligently seek him. And God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will give it to you. If you will not doubt, if your heart finds favor in the sight of God, no one find favor in God's own sight. You can also find favor. We read of people in the scriptures. Time will fail us to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And many of them that obtained mercy of the Almighty God. Look at the Syrophoenician woman. We have not talked about Martha and the rest of them who are reason to talk foolishly to Christ. Because while he was there, living with them, they took care of him. They sewed dress for him. They cooked food for him. They cleaned his room. They do everything for him. But when they needed him most, he went away. And they called for him, he still went further. They sent another message, they went further. Until their brother died. And he came back. Despite all the way he disappointed them, Martha said, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatsoever you ask him, he will give to you. They still believe that he's still the Lord. They believe he's still the master. They believe that with him nothing is impossible.
As we speak to God individually,
put yourself in the shoes of the Syrophoenician woman.
Put yourself in the shoes of Antirite with a problem, with a need. Put yourself in that. What do you think, in case Christ was standing here or the prophet, what will you ask for? And what is the condition of your heart while you are asking? Do you think God will turn you down? He could give you a trial and say you are not qualified for what you are asking for. Then what will be your attitude to that? Maybe he wants to check your attitude. He wants to check your humility. He wants to check your submission, your obedience. He wants to check everything about you before you get the blessing. Supposing it comes that way, what will you do? Perseverance. Continue a course of action without regard to discouragement, opposition, or previous failures. That's the way I've been praying all this. Why? God didn't answer. Then why are you in church? Others have prayed like you have prayed. They pray like more than you. But one day, God had them. One day, the power of God moved. One day, the grace of God come down. One day, something took place. Because the God that we serve is not a disappointment. He moved in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. As we preach, so it is. If there is somebody, it could be one person that this service is meant for. If your heart is found to be favorable in the sight of the Almighty God, I can assure you that you can get something today that you have cried all along for, that you have prayed all along for, that you have examined and desired all along, and today may be today when it will be a testimony, when it will become a issue, when something will take place that you will never forget all the days of your life. Say, Lord, help me. Just the crumbs that fall from the master's table is sufficient for the healing of my daughter. We have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Some at the altar, some at their feet. Maybe they take this position to be able to pray as they have prayed. But may I ask this question at this time? Because the sermon itself is an altar sermon. The sermon that already carry an altar call with it. What will you that God will do for you at this time? And whatsoever need you are talking about, do you believe that God can do it? Do you believe He's faithful enough? Do you believe His power? Despite the mockery and the scoffing everywhere about religion, about Christianity, about the name of Christ. Despite all that, do you still believe that God can still do something like that for somebody? Is your request seeing why we did that, that God can do something? Elijah told Elisha, you have asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go, because I ask you to ask, and he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, for he that knocketh is opened. You ask a hard thing. No matter how hard what you are asking for, if it is within the bracket of God's word, within the power of the Most High God, you can have what you are asking for. If your faith can rise up to that level. Lift up your hand to God with your request behind it. If you will not doubt the faithful God who is present with us in this service, it will be his business from hereafter to see to it, because his reputation is at stake. Me as a man, I'm just saying what he has said. It is his own word. It is not my reputation. It is his own reputation. Let your request be your heart, and your hand stretch to the Almighty God, who sees beyond this physical pain, because he doesn't make anything to man, but he makes a whole lot to the Almighty God. Gracious Eternal Father, I have my hands up also, because I am immortal. Some of your sons and daughters are here at the altar. Many are on their feet. And hands, almost all, is up in the air. Look at mine. Look at my heart. Your word is my entire life. I believe the same for your sons and daughters. You are our absolute. What you say is the final bus stop for us. We don't want our way. We want you and your word to have preeminence in our life. We put ourselves in the shoe of the scriptures, in the shoes of Atirat, in the shoe of the Syrophoenician woman. We put ourselves in that junction. Thou Almighty God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God, who has all the power, who is present here with us, who knows all our hearts. Look at our requests. Look at our needs. If our needs is according to your word, then you are obligated, because that is your delight. Righteous Eternal Father, I pray at this hour, if by the touching of the hem of your garment, a 12 years of blood issue can stop, then you can do all things. If by your daughter, at the right, acknowledging the testimony of your power to be the truth, if that will grant unto her an instant salvation of her two words that she has been talking to you about, praying about, desiring your mercy, and it happened instantly. What human being can struggle about for almost 100 years, and yet it happened within a minute? Our Father, we are in your hands. Look into our hearts. Look into our requests. Look into our desires. Grant unto each one. Because each one believes you can do it. That's why the answer up. They believe you can do it. Well, if you are here physically, that's what we ask. If we believe you can do it, Lord, our answer will have been yes. Then help our unbelief. If there is doubt anywhere, remove the doubt. If there is unbelief, remove the unbelief. Lord Jesus, put your stamp on this request, Father. in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be unto your sons and daughters as each one is asking. Whatever they desire, make it theirs in the name of Jesus Christ.
May our testimonies be joined with that of this Phoenician woman. May our testimony align with that of Atirai. And people, men and women in the scriptures, and even our generations, in the time of the prophet, if those signs and wonders and miracles and salvation, if they were to be written down, the books in the old world also cannot contain them. Therefore, help us at this hour. That divine faith that takes no for an answer, that have here on the chest, may you confirm the request of everyone. May your angel accompany all of us, Father, and confirm the request of everyone. Every power of darkness that want to stand like the king of Persia to constitute itself as an obstacle and hindrance towards the actualization of the blessing of your people, Lord Jesus, may you destroy his effort. Bring all his works to nothing. Rise up as the mighty God in battle. Grant victory unto your sons and daughters. Let it be their Father. Thank you, King of glory. May the testimonies be to you and to you alone, not to man, because man has no business in this. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful. We go in this mind to testify to the glory of your name, that our God is faithful. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Be with us. A short break we will have and bring us back for more blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus' mighty name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. The Lord bless you. Is coming glad in our hearts. By 2 o'clock, we ought to be on seat again for the last service of the day. In times like this, let's spend more times in prayers than in talking things that do not profit. Let's hold more conferences with him, because the principle of God's word, he that asketh, receive it. May the Lord be our help. Come to that Savior, make no delay. What number is that now? What number, please? Said? 497. 497. Okay, shall we rise?
Yeah.